Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
A Bit of a Mouthful is super proud to partner with Intrepid. Intrepid's small group food trips connect you with a local leader and a group of folks into food and travel, just like you.
It's not just food trips either. Check out their full range of trips at intrepidtravel.com.
Intrepid, good trips only.
Before you tuck into this lovely podcast, you may be warned that there are words that you may not wish to hear. Some of these words may be a little sweary, so if you have a toddler nearby, place them in a different room and remove any elderly people from the nearby area. These words may include, but not be limited to...
I got fully drunk off just Baileys.
That's quite a heavy experience.
I love it.
And it fucking shat itself of juices.
I think that as a society, we need to start embracing stains.
If they left out the hash browns, I would have a fucking tantrum.
Would you dip a hash brown in a McFlurry?
Don't talk with your mouth full. Unless you're talking about food, in which case it's useful. And that's just what we're about to do. It's all the with me and Michael, and they're culinary tips so vital.
That tastes great.
But it's a bit of a mouthful.
And we're back. It's the A Bit of a Mouthful podcast. This week, we'll be discussing all sorts of things pertaining to food and drinks and... Oh, no, you normally do the intro. Maybe you should do it.
I'll do the intro. And you might have noticed that we all sound quite chipper already. It's because we've reintroduced red wine into A Bit of a Mouthful, which really is
down.
The... really? I maybe two, actually. It's the driving force behind humour in this podcast, really.
Yeah.
Huzzah, as you would say.
I was listening to one of the previous episodes on my run the other day.
It's pretty much all Will does.
And I just listen to my own voice.
Have a little chuckle.
But I realised it's nice that there are people that, you know, find the podcast relatable, because some of the shit that we talk about... It's like, what was it the other day? I started listening to it and it was like me talking about fucking Tarama Salata.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, if anyone's relating to that, wow. Like everyone,
it's relatable stuff, not to me, but maybe.
It's crazy that that's actually relatable, because I'm listening to myself thinking, God, I sound like a dickhead. Whereas someone else is listening to that going, yeah, yeah, I agree. That's me. So, listener, I just want you to know that, thanks.
Well, listener, I want you to know that you need to, I'm going to do this at the beginning this time, because normally I do it at the end and I think people have drifted off, they're asleep.
No, you'll instantly make people stop listening to the podcast if you do what I think you're about to do, so I wouldn't do it.
Review it! Review the podcast!
And now we shall move on.
Just quickly go on to Apple Podcasts quick before Will makes me move on and open it up, find A Bit of a Mouthful and review it and write something lovely and give us 5 stars. Thank you very much.
So pushy.
It's a bit pushy.
It is a bit pushy. It's a bit needy.
Say it with a smile.
But anyway, we should probably get on with the show.
What we had for dinner last night.
What we had for dinner last night.
Michael, what did you have for dinner last night?
So it's not the new year, but it's basically the new year. It's like the front half of the year.
It's the front bit.
It's Q1.
Yeah.
It's Q1.
It's definitely Q1.
Oh, yeah.
Is it Q1?
No, in the calendar year, not academic.
In the tax year, it's Q4, I guess. But
oh, okay. Right.
And that's the kind of relatable stuff we talk about.
Yeah, but
does
the calendar year... Oh, I suppose it does work like that, doesn't it?
Q1.
But no one says Q1 about the fucking months of the year. They only say it about the business side of things. So
yeah, it's just not very efficient, is it?
It's the first bit of the year.
Absolutely.
What's new?
So, I ate a lot of chocolate over Christmas.
How much?
I drank a lot of wine. And I had a lot of Baileys. I got fully drunk off just Baileys.
That's quite a heavy experience.
I love it. I think
when you say fully drunk, yeah, because I had like I don't normally drink Baileys at Christmas, and for some reason Tegan's family drink it. Like I know people drink it at Christmas, but her mum will just be drinking shitloads of Baileys,
yeah,
like
I love it.
All day.
I honestly
and on Boxing
it.
Day, I got there and I had like 2 or 3 glasses of Baileys, and I was like, I'm drunk on milk. Well, I wasn't drunk. I was tipsy. I'm an enormous heavyweight.
Really? No, I'm a bit of a lightweight, so it doesn't take a lot of Baileys.
Maybe. How many glasses of the size?
Because the thing is, I wasn't really having small glasses. And actually, I started making Bailey's espresso martinis.
Yeah, delicious.
I was just like, look, I'm getting drunk. It's Christmas. I will fall asleep.
What percentage is Bailey's?
Like
20?
Like 14, 15?
It's between 15
it's basically
and
juice.
20, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like orange juice.
Yeah.
But if you've got it in a big beaker and you're walking around the house sipping on your Bailey's sippy cup...
Was this on Christmas Day?
No, this wasn't Christmas Day.
Just over the Christmas period.
But yeah, well, I consumed a lot of Baileys and a lot of chocolate. And then, so for dinner last night, I had sweet potato, broccoli and chicken. That's my kind of
vibe.
That
is such a gym boy dinner.
It was.
Yeah. Was it breast?
You know, so Tina, one of my colleagues, which I think both of you know Tina.
My good pal, Tina.
Lovely.
Me and her are both getting swole as hell.
Oh.
Not together, but yeah, that's happening. I don't know how long this is going to last, but I don't know. It's on my radar.
Is Tina also on the chicken breast sweet potato diet?
I haven't seen what she was eating so far.
Your bit of what you had for dinner last night could get a bit fucking boring if it's just sort of like
bit macro
one
heavy.
Carb, broccoli yeah. and chicken. Like,
but I also was meal... Look, I'm just a January guy right now. I was meal prepping whilst I was cooking dinner, and then I went to the gym this morning. So
what were you doing at the gym this morning?
Legs.
Really? I specifically didn't do legs.
Check these out.
I'm actually similarly to Michael doing...
Just to the listener, explain to the listener what you can see, Sophie.
I can see a leg with hair on it and there's a bit of muscle on the calf.
Yes! Quite a lot of hair as well.
Yeah, hairier than I thought.
Yeah. Mm. January-hairy, more like.
There we go. yeah, that's my take on Movember. It's just I let my legs grow out in January.
Do you normally get the Veet out?
Of course I do.
Yeah.
But yeah, so sorry, really boring.
Did you season the chicken with anything?
Of course I did.
How did you cook the chicken? Was it just a whole breast?
So I had a sweet potato. I cut it in half.
Mm-hmm.
And I put that in the oven with the broccoli, with olive oil.
Broccoli at the same time as a sweet potato?
Yeah, it was stupid because I overdid
the broccoli.
The broccoli
would have been absolutely
it was cremated.
Eviscerated.
It was.
Yeah.
So that's my little hot take this week. And then with the chicken, I can't remember. I have like a spice rack and I just go to it and I just vroom, 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 everything on it.
That's pretty
and
much,
did you bake the chicken?
Pan fried it. Chicken
butterfly
thigh.
It first? It was a thigh?
Thigh.
Okay, fine. That feels better. I was worried it was just a whole breast.
No. I will at least treat myself to a thigh.
Okay,
at the same time, I got a big for Christmas. My sister's got me a big... Well, so bored.
Sorry.
Sorry,
I was just having
a big Le Creuset. A big Le Creuset pan.
Yeah. I mean, it is
and
fucking boring.
I
slow cooked a load of chicken thighs for my meal prep. So I'm just eating chicken thighs. Just
oh,
chicken
you know how I said, oh, it is fucking boring. And then I said, oh, no, it's not. And then,
it is.
And then the next thing was, and I meal prepped all my chicken thighs. Okay.
Look, I'm just trying to bring it back to reality, okay? We have a lot of people that listen to this podcast who are just looking for gains, I think.
They probably just want to, they're just meal preppy dudes too.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Remember, I'm trying to turn this podcast into a tech bro. No, it was never gym bro, was it? But
no,
tech and gym bro.
Tech
yeah, yeah. And
gym.
Football.
And poo.
I'm a big poo bro.
Yeah. We'll have to get to that later.
Yeah, no, I do have some poo stuff to talk about. I was thinking about that while I was cooking my chicken breasts, but there we go. Anyway, Sophie, what did you have for dinner last night?
I actually had such a delicious dinner.
Ah.
It sounds...
Boring.
I don't mean this to be rude. Best. It sounds...
What were your macros?
Infinitely more delicious than yours.
My dinner's better than your dinner.
It just categorically was. I don't think anyone would say it wasn't.
Yeah.
I was testing some pancakey recipes for the upcoming pancake day.
Mm-hmm.
And I did some really delicious stuffed baked pancakes.
Oh.
Like crespelle. Like they do them in Italy.
No, I don't know what that is.
Was that a tummy noise, Will? Was that a glass?
Sorry, my wine glass just made a fart noise. Now I know how to cover up mine if I have to drop one.
Are you frantically trying to make it make the same noise now?
Yeah. wait, if we all go very silent, we can... Fuck it,
just
carry
about
on with what you were talking
the
about.
The smell
was more
suggests that it wasn't the glass.
Okay, so my pancakes were... I cooked up the pancakes, had a little snack of them, and then I made a mixture of caramelized red onion, some red endive, which I cooked down in the pan with the red onion. I then mixed that with ricotta.
Sorry, what's red endive?
Endive, or chicory. is a vegetable. You eat it as a salad, or you can cook it. I cooked it.
I don't think I've ever had it cooked.
Haven't you? Oh,
is it a bit
so
like
nice.
Cabbage?
Yeah, quite cabbagey, but more bitter. Very tasty. So I did that, and then I mixed it with ricotta, parmesan, put that inside the pancakes with a slice of speck, rolled it up, and then I nestled them into a baking dish and poured over a white sauce.
They were sort of like, it looked like
they were
sort curled of cramming
up.
Bodies into a mass grave.
Like, yes,
the way they were
just
sort of,
like it.
The way they were sort of curled
I'm really
out.
Glad you saw that, because yeah. That was my vision. Yeah, yeah. And then I poured over the Taleggio sauce over the corpses. And then I baked them in the oven and covered them in chives.
It's a classic Halloween and pancake day mashup.
Yeah,
we love
just
it.
Mash, just smash them all together.
Put some red food colouring on it.
corpses aside, it was so nice. I'm really excited about that recipe.
Was there a side with that, or was it just...
So for dinner, I pan-fried really hard some tenderstem broccoli, our fave, and a bit of Savoy cabbage.
Nice.
To have on the side some greens.
You've
absolutely
got it
stunning.
Going on. You've got it together. I think that's...
Do I?
No.
No. Oh. I mean, and to be fair, you do probably in a way because you're having a sensible gym bro meal while I'm just eating cheesy pancakes. But
here's
like
an
lot.
Idea, though. Right. If you, let's say, were one of the three hosts on a food-based podcast, right, just as an idea, maybe next time that you know that you've got a podcast the next day and you're going over to your spice rack, right, maybe write down the spices you use, because I'm really interested
okay,
to know.
Okay, I'll tell you, because
oh,
I reckon...
Oh, you know now,
I do
you?
Know.
Has it popped back into your
it's
head?
It's popped back
or
into my head.
You weren't just laissez-faire throwing spices around.
I'm going to tell you exactly what I did.
He's going to pluck it right out of his ass.
No, this is for real. This is legit. Okay, so Baharat spice blend.
Didn't see it going there. Not what
I was
expecting.
I was thinking paprika, garlic granules, bit of oregano.
But there was some garlic. There was salt, pepper, garlic, and Baharat.
Okay.
I don't really know what's in that, but it smelt good before I put it on it. But I was at the same time, so what I like to do is I like to slow cook lots of a meat, like a chicken or a lamb or a beef or whatever. And then I will put that in the fridge and then I will create multiple dishes from that meat in future. So with a chicken.
Somehow brought it back to meal prep.
Yeah. But that's what I did. It's what I did last night.
The man loves his meal prep.
But you know, prep. I'm a busy guy. I've got this podcast. I was so busy preparing for this podcast that I forgot to actually do what you're supposed to do and cook something nice. I put a bit of white wine in my meal prep. No one's doing that.
Gorgeous.
Oh,
yeah,
and
that's
butter.
A little edge.
Oh, I was going to ask if you
little
put some
edge.
Butter in the sweet potato.
No, actually, this was for Christmas. Santa gave me a peanut butter that's like a everything bagel peanut butter.
Ooh,
delicious. Which is really delicious. It's got like a sort of sesame seed garlicky vibe, and I put that on the sweet potato.
Is there quite a lot of that left?
That sounds gorgeous.
There is a fair bit.
Could you
left.
Bring
Can
some
I have some?
Next
week? Yeah.
I think we should review that.
That sounds
on,
very nice. That sounds I'd like a nibble of that.
Good.
And I also got some...
You've got the biggest glass. I'm worried about you. You're going to be drunk.
I'm also... I haven't actually drank very much of it. I'm just...
Get it down, yeah.
Slowly sipping away.
I got some chili jam from Santa as well, and I quickly put that on the thighs just to like caramelize it a little bit before.
Nice. See, these are important steps to make it sound more delicious. Or are you lying?
Yeah,
no, I'm not lying.
I
feel like he's just made that bit up.
No, I haven't made
he's
that
He's just
up.
Made it sound
was it,
nicer.
Was it the James
I'll tell you what else I did last night.
The addition of peanut butter and sweet chili makes that delicious.
But sorry, I need delicious. To ask, was it the James Cochrane 1251 chili jam?
No, it wasn't.
That is
it
very
was
good.
Some sort of local.
Or Ralph's PJ.
Also good. I don't think I've ever actually tried that.
Oh, it's really good.
Gabe doesn't like me enough to send me one, and I don't like Gabe enough to buy one.
Gabe Owen, give the man some Ralph's PJ.
That's a joke. I actually really like Gabe.
I love Gabe, and I love the PJ.
I'm going to talk about what I had for dinner last night, because even though I definitely picked what Sophie had for dinner last night over what you had for dinner last night, I'd still pick what I had for dinner last night, because it was one of those meals that was quite nostalgic.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you about a man called Ray. So,
sweet baby.
No.
Oh.
Although... Good on a barbecue. Big Ray.
Ray J.
Ray was a man that lived around the corner from me when I was growing up. And he was a very, very good cook. He was a friend of my dad's. He was with a lady called Mags, whose grandparents, grandchildren would come around and visit. And I was good friends with them. So I'd end up around there from time to time.
So they're not together
anymore.
And
they'd say, I don't know. But this is a while ago. We're talking, God, over I mean, this is almost 20 years ago, because I guess I'm...
Over 20.
Over 20. Which is good, that my best days are probably behind me. And one of my best days was one of the days that I was around at Ray and Mags's, and Ray said, Will, do you want to stay for dinner? I went, all right, Ray, what's cooking? Because I was northern back then. And Ray said, oh, I'm just going to do some pasta with tomatoes, and I'm going to roast a chicken. And I thought, goodness, what are you going to do? You're going to have roast chicken with pasta and tomatoes, because I was northern. And it was great. He did like pappardelle with like roasted tomatoes and then like roast chicken on top of it with like lots of nice salt and pepper and olive oil and everything like
that. Sounds unreal.
It was really simple. So I had this cockerel. This is not relatable. I had a cockerel in my freezer because Swaledale, my favorite butchers, sent me a cockerel to cook for like me and my housemates doing Christmas dinner. And I was really ill. Didn't get around to it. It was in the freezer. So I defrosted it, roasted the cockerel. And then instead of doing like pappardelle, I did orzo,
yes,
which I mixed a lot of the chicken juices through. And then I also made a tarragon salsa verde because I had loads of tarragon left in the fridge. So I wanted to make sure that it was getting used up, not wasted, because I'm very big on not wasting shit at the moment. So I blended a bit of coriander, a bit of parsley, mostly the stalks, actually, tarragon, put some toasted almonds in there, put some garlic in there, a couple of anchovies, whizzed it all up, a bit of red wine vinegar, and then mixed a couple of spoonfuls through the orzo. Mm-hmm. So it was a bit like...
A bit herby through
it. It was a bit
there.
Like a nice risotto. I love orzo because it's like, it's basically risotto,
but
for
much,
people
much quicker.
Who just don't want to fuck about.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So nice sort of green, very chickeny orzo, roasted chicken slices and some roasted tomatoes with more of the green sauce on top and some toasted almonds. And it was fucking sick. It was
that
absolutely
sounds delicious.
You know,
I
was offended when you started saying mine was better, and I actually think
but
it
the,
sounds
but
really
the,
great.
It was not only nice, but it was the nicest thing about it was that it reminded me, like, it all came from that like memory.
Was that the inspiration, or did you eat it and go, damn, this tastes like
No, it was entirely the inspiration, because it was like, I like roast dinners as much as the next person. I think with a roast, like, you can roast a chicken and it doesn't have to be a roast. Like, a roasted chicken with chips and like mayo is so
any
good.
Night of the week.
Like, there's a lot of things that you can do with like roast beef, for example, or like what would be the centerpiece of a roast dinner, and then do other bits around it. And I think that actually quite often that's more interesting than doing a roast dinner. So that's what I had for dinner last night.
I was
going to
ask,
it was nice.
Because with a roast chicken, I feel like it takes so long to cook, sort of, relatively speaking, that like to mix, to have pasta with it, feels like a little bit of a juxtaposition of timings.
Yeah.
Cooking onion takes longer than
really
most people would think.
Yeah, I mean, it was...
20 minutes at least.
I'd never cooked a cockerel before, and people say they're a bit like turkey.
Does it taste different?
Yeah, definitely did.
Really?
Just a little bit. It was just a bit more like turkey than...
A bit more masculine.
I don't know. Like, I feel like... Not in an unpleasant way.
Are they leaner than chickens? I feel like they're not.
The texture is slightly grainier.
Yeah, yeah.
Not in a bad way.
But like a turkey.
Yeah, exactly that.
Yeah.
So it's...
We actually have cockerel at Christmas always.
Oh, you said, what's it called?
A capon.
Capon.
That's it.
That's just a cockerel.
So I think that might be what I had. I slightly overcooked it because it had been frozen, and then it wasn't massive, but everything I'd read online said you have to cook it for an hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever. And I was like, well, I'm not sure about that.
We had this exact problem on Christmas Day, by the way.
Yeah.
We were told that it would take 3 hours to cook, and I was looking at it going, there's
that's
no
fucking way.
That's not
going to take 3 hours, yeah.
Three
so
hours
I,
to
I gave it half an hour on 190, to do the skin. Shitloads of olive oil, shitloads of salt.
Yeah.
The skin was perfect, even after resting it with tinfoil over the
still
top.
Still a crispy girl.
Didn't go soft.
A crispy boy.
Crispy boy, exactly.
Sorry, boy.
But yeah, the skin was perfect, but the meat could have maybe been a little bit more moist, but that was my bad rather than it being not a good product, because it was a good product.
Once
but
got
luckily,
moist orzo juices.
I had all of the chicken juice left over, and it fucking shat itself of juices whilst I was... Like, literally, I poured the juices out of this tray into a mug, and it filled up like that. And I was like, fuck. So there was like two mugs full. So I put like half a mug into the orzo. Mm-hmm. And then I was cooking for four of us. It was like me and my housemates and our mate. And then because the chicken, the cockerel was slightly dry. It wasn't dry. It was good. The skin was perfect. I was happy with it, but I could have been happier. I just drenched it in the chicken juice, and it just just went straight through it.
That and sounds.
It was lovely.
Delicious.
I want to cook that now. I want chicken and tomato. You'd probably do it
better than me as well, I reckon. And then what you could do as well is you could put that recipe in your Substack.
I'll give you a commission.
And then we can go out for dinner with the money. And they'll say, what would Everybody you like? Wins. And we'll say, roast chicken, roast tomatoes, and orzo, please.
Banging.
Sold. Done.
Ovens. Right? Will?
Am I right?
You know, am I right? Am I wrong?
I've met a couple in my time.
I don't think they all do the same. They don't cook at the same temperature. They don't. 180 on my oven is like next level. I'd say my oven's more like an air fryer because it's quite small. Uh-huh. It's a proper fan. Two compartments in a small oven. So like, and then I go home to my parents' oven. It's just some like lazy piece of shit. It does nothing.
My oven's same as yours. Obliterates everything.
Honestly.
It's also on a tilt. So you can't make a cake in there because it's tilted forwards. Or a lasagna for that matter. Anything you put in
Is it on a tilt?
A sauce. It just, everything comes out a bit. I made a beautiful loaf focaccia. It wasn't beautiful when it came out, let me tell you.
I was having this problem quite often with my parents and going back to theirs and cooking stuff. So what I did was, as a Christmas present, got my parents pretty much the same oven that I have at home so I could definitely cook things the same way. And
that's a great present.
Yeah.
Wait, would you like an uninstalled oven that they then need to, or is it like a?
Oh, I've got someone to install it. Like, it wasn't just an oven to look at that would
it's
sit.
Gorgeous,
I was about to say,
like, no, that's a gorgeous Christmas present.
Their oven was fucked, and I've been going back for years and cooking stuff, and it'd be like the grill bit.
The grill bit
was broken. My dad likes grilling his bacon, and he's getting old. I don't want him to be frying it. You know, he'll die of not obesity, but probably something heart related. So I thought, get the grill, get them a new oven. And then they got the grill, can control the temperature. The other thing was all of the numbers had wiped off. So it was
guesswork.
It was just complete a guessing guesswork. Game, and things were coming out not the way they should come out. So, so I was like, Mum, Dad, for Christmas, I'm not getting you any good presents. I'm just getting
this is
going to
be
oven.
Your new That's diva thing because you'll do the same one. For Airbnbs. You're like, send an oven ahead of you.
That's like, your rider for anywhere you go.
There must be this oven installed.
Exactly the oven that you
Because you get better at cooking and you get better kit at home, and then you go somewhere else and you're like, oh, I can finally relax. And you're like, blunt knives, fuck.
It does.
A bad workman blames his tools, and I love blaming my tools. It's my favourite pastime.
A bad workman blames their tools, but sometimes it's hard. Like, there's certain things.
You can't work with a blunt knife.
You need a good chopping board, you need a sharp knife, and you need an oven that's hot.
Why is it a rule that in every Airbnb, all the chopping boards are warped and none of the knives are sharp?
Yeah, that's true.
I've never been to an Airbnb where that hasn't been the case.
I had one in, it wasn't really an Airbnb, but I stayed somewhere in Greece and actually the knives were sharp.
Okay.
The hob was good, but the chopping board was just far too small and made of wood and it wobbled.
I think I ended up cutting my hand.
Oh. And I wrote that in the review and they gave me £4 back.
Gorgeous. Worth it.
Would you rather? How's that for a segue, Will? Okay. Would you rather? We haven't done would you rather in a bit.
No, we haven't.
It's been a hot min.
Would you rather only cook using an air fryer or only cook using a slow cooker?
Air fryer, 100%.
Also, when you said... Sorry, there's a bit left, but I was just going to pass it over rather than pouring it.
Red wine for me, please.
Air fryer. Although, definitely. I love cooking with slow cookers, but can it be my slow cooker?
Yeah. Does yours have multiple settings at air fry?
Are you joking? Your slow cooker also air fry?
It doesn't air fry, but it has multiple settings.
My slow cooker has multiple, and so does my air fryer.
Yeah, I've not got an air fryer. I don't believe in them at the moment, but I got a slow cooker from my dear friend Ed Pugh on my 21st birthday.
You've talked about this before. Yeah. A gorgeous present for a 21-year-old to give
and I've still got it, and I still use it quite regularly. I only really use the slow cooker setting. But I did roast a chicken in it at uni and it came out real nice. And it's got four other settings. Fuck, I'll be fucked if I know what they are off the top of my head. But that, as a slow cooker, is pretty good. I don't think any slow cookers these days, do they make them that just do turn
mine's
on?
Mine's got a little crock pot.
I've got a crock pot as well.
But it doesn't
I don't know if I'm into air fryers.
But the only thing is air fryers, you know, when you're
you
in a pinch.
You get crispy.
Also,
my air fryer does sauteing, so...
Wait, are we assuming...
So you can also make things soft and saucy.
I get what they do, and I get their benefits, but I just don't have any space in my kitchen for one.
I think that's it. I was a skeptic, I'll be honest, and then I did some work with an air fryer, So I now have one and I have space for it.
Some therapy with your
air
fryer.
And I think it's, yeah, I've really put the work in, and so has the air fryer.
Yeah.
And now we've understood each other a lot better. Mm. And I actually love it now.
If you looked around a new house or flat to move into and it had a built-in air fryer, would you poo-poo that or would you want it?
I wouldn't want it, but
I don't think I need it. I've got my own.
I just think they take up so much. I'd rather a slow
cooker.
They
are quite clunky, aren't they? They're quite big. Like my slow cooker goes in the cupboard and then
it comes out for special occasions.
I get it out and plop it on the side when I want my whole house to smell nice.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously to cook something. That's more of a side effect. But it's not, it's in the cupboard the whole time. And I feel like an air fryer should be that. But because they're so bloody clunky, it kind of has to have its permanent.
Yeah.
And then I'd have to get rid of my beer tap.
You got a beer tap?
Yeah.
Oh, of course.
I've got draft beer on deck all the time. Kegs all over the show.
Oh, gorgeous.
Think Chappie's not having his Lagarinos? No way. What, just to bloody make some crispy ham? No, thank you.
You get a hash brown from frozen to perfect in about 8 minutes in an air fryer.
You see, that's probably what's going to make me buy an air fryer.
Legitimately, it's so... When you wake up and you are so cripplingly hungover that you can't breathe,
yeah,
and you just stumble into the kitchen, pour a glass of OJ, get the hash browns in the air fryer,
yeah,
and you're fed. That's pretty stunning.
We're on would you rathers here, aren't we?
Yeah, we are.
I'm going to say air fryer because I don't think slow cookers are convenient, and I'm assuming this is just a basic slow cooker, but I do want to go into a hot take. A steaming hot pile of food-based takes. McDonald's make the best hash browns in the world. I've never had one close.
Categorically, they
make,
yes,
the best hash browns in the world. And it's the mere mention of being hungover as well. Me, if I'm hungover, going into the kitchen to cook hash browns, air fryer or no air fryer, is far less convenient than, hello, Mr. Uber Eats. I'll have one of your finest portions of a what's it called? The nice thing that has the sausage that's also
McMuffin.
Yeah. The sausage in that also.
Sausage stunning.
Brilliantly seasoned every time.
Get the egg away from me. Get that egg away from me.
I do get the egg, but I do hate them. But then I put cold sauce on it and it sort of all ties together nicely. Two hash browns.
I just asked them to take the egg away and give me more hash browns.
Oh, yeah.
Always.
No, I haven't tried that. But I just think, actually McDonald's hash browns might be. I think McDonald's breakfast is objectively good.
Yes.
I think most McDonald's food isn't. But I think that the... No, it is for a time and a place, but I genuinely think that you'd be hard-pressed to find... I mean, there are Bangers, for example, and what's the other one that's called Egg Slut, which I hate the name of that.
It's quite delicious.
Not even from a feminist perspective, all right? I just think if you're going to fucking call something Egg Slut, it's the same as being like dirty, horrible, brief brisket tots. It's like in that remit.
Bean, yeah, boobies.
Yeah, fuck that. Anyway, yeah, the McDonald's breakfast menu, specifically the McMuffin with the cheese.
Yeah, absolutely stunning.
And the hash browns, top 10.
Although Uber Eats get it wrong most of the time. Every time I order at McDonald's when I'm really hungover on Uber Eats,
they get it wrong.
It either arrives cold or they leave things out.
Oh.
I know when you're hungover and you're like, I just need a McFlurry and everything will be okay.
Would you rather it arrive McFlurry cold doesn't... or they left things out, but your oven's broken on this day and you've only got an air fryer, don't have that?
I'd rather they left things out. I need it to be... I don't want the cold chips. I only want them if they're hot.
I thought we were specifically talking breakfast.
Oh, sorry, then...
Cold hash brown, not good.
Yeah, not good.
Cold hash brown, not good at all. But they always...
I don't think you can get McFlurry at breakfast.
Good point.
If they left out the hash browns, I would have a fucking tantrum.
Would you dip a hash brown in a McFlurry?
Yes.
Watcher. my favourite thing about the McDonald's hash brown is it's sort of like dressed up in a little white suit.
Like, yeah.
That's
so
cute.
And she's so greasy. Such little, a greasy little
sort
suit.
Of red waistcoat. With
yeah, little tie, little
lemon
McDonald's
piping,
tie.
And
yeah,
then a little
beautiful.
White. Yeah,
my
nice.
Hash browns aren't.
Do they still do pancakes at McDonald's?
I don't think so.
Do you remember them?
In America, I'm sure they're pumping them out.
I used to go crazy for the pancakes with a side of hash browns as a kid.
What the fuck? No.
Yeah.
Pancakes with a side of hash browns. That's going like, I'll have chips with a side of mash, which actually I did do in America.
Gorgeous.
But I was in America, so it was fine.
No, I did it all the time as a kid. Would get McDonald's breakfast on the way to driving to holiday.
Syrup on the hash browns?
No, I'd eat them separately. But just as a
okay, no. Okay, that makes sense. Sorry, I thought you meant that you used the hash browns as a topping for the pancakes.
Do you know what? I kind of back it, but I didn't do that. I wasn't that advanced.
Have I told you about my Singaporean roti experience?
No.
So I was in Singapore with my family over Christmas when I was probably about 13. And they had these rotis that I'd go up every morning. I thought they were just normal pancakes, but they clearly weren't. And I went up and I just got them and I got the syrup and I just poured it all over. And every day the chef just looked at me like I was the biggest fucking cretin. And I got back and I was like, there's this like kind of sort of smoky,
quite
kind
pretty.
Of like really lovely flavor with this. And they're like rave about it to my sisters and my parents. And they're like, oh, this is great. Every day. And we all went and we all got these rotis.
Oh, you, the whole and family's
then,
like.
And then my
it.
Dad at the end was like, the chef was like so annoyed. It's like, it's like these savoury rotis that you guys are coming and just getting.
I can see that.
It
being
was
quite,
delicious.
That, that's
I think,
quite nice.
I think
that's
it so sounds nice. Genius.
But hash browns are covered in syrup. I've never backed the.
Sweet and salty.
It's not that I don't like sweet
and salty. What about duck
like,
and waffle?
I like sweet and duck salty and when the sweet is the dominant flavour.
Yeah.
Wait, okay. Maybe yeah. I'm talking the other way
like,
around.
Like salted caramel.
I like salted popcorn with chocolate buttons in it, but I don't like fried chicken covered in syrup.
Yeah, I'm with
you. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm
I
with
think
you.
They're the same thing, but just different examples.
I don't know what I'm saying.
You just like some things and don't like others.
No, it's like I don't.
No, I think I know what you mean. I think I know what you mean. It's like if the base can either be sweet or savory, you like the salty version with sweet. But if the base has to be savory, you don't like sweet stuff with it. So like chicken. You never have like a sweet chicken, right?
That would be weird.
But you would have sweet popcorn.
I don't, there's a lot of people who like sweet chili chicken.
It's not that sweet, though, is it?
I honestly, I live for sweet and salty. I live for that shit.
Salt and sweet popcorn
it's
every damn day.
It's not bad.
Haagen-Dazs salted caramel ice cream is the best ice cream by an absolute mile. That's my hot take.
Speaking of rotis, Michael, should we do our food trip of the week?
Yeah, oh my God, that's such a good segue.
Intrepid small group adventures. Take the guesswork out of going somewhere new. Choose from over 1,000 trips to more than 100 countries at intrepidtravel.com.
This feature is brought to you with our friends at Intrepid. Good trips only.
It's the food trip of the week.
This week's food trip of the week with Intrepid to Bologna, Venice, and Tuscany.
What? So many of my favourite holiday destinations. I went to, this summer, I went to Bologna and Venice in one swoop
you
of
a
holiday.
You can't stop, can you?
And it was some of the happiest days of my life. Me and my best mate went for our 30th birthday joint present to each other. In Bologna, honestly, so many moments of near collapse eating plates of pasta. The most, obviously, bolognese is from Bologna.
Is it?
Yeah.
I thought bolognese was made up by the government.
No. It's real.
Oh.
It's real. They don't put tomatoes
in it. But they fucking hate how we do it.
They hate how we do it. Yeah. They really hate how we do it.
They go milk, don't they?
They don't eat it with spaghetti, that's for sure.
What the hell?
No, they eat it with tagliatelle.
They don't call it spag bol.
No.
A spag bol.
They hate us saying spag bol. They really hate us saying spag bol. Yeah, the bolognese in Bologna is amazing. Well, so is their tortellini and brodo.
Yes, I was going to say, I remember you talking to me about the broth.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And the gelato, the bloody gelato.
Guys!
Sorry.
You can go there and they'll teach you how to make bolognese properly. We don't even need to have the chat.
Oh, is that...
That's literally a thing.
Oh.
There's
oh
a cooking
goodness.
Class there.
I know how to make a tradition... I have not made a traditional bolognese, probably. But I know that the tradition is milk and chicken stock rather than beef stock.
Really?
And obviously we all use beef stock and red wine and we have rich flavor. We want these rich flavors in the UK. And I think that that's probably come from like an idea of what it should be in Italy. But it's quite funny that it's not.
It's not.
It's not.
We got it all wrong.
Yeah,
we got it all wrong.
But to celebrate Italy, I've brought an Italian wine. So you guys can continue to chat. I'm just going to pour you a glass.
Oh, gorgeous.
Very nice. Very nice indeed.
I want to tell you about Venice as well because you've not been to Venice.
I've not been to Venice. I've actually, it's really annoying. I've been to the north of Italy.
Mm-hmm. You've been to Milan.
I've been to Milan and Lake Como.
Gorgeous.
In the same trip. And I do think, well, I've not been to the south of Italy, so I can't compare the two foods, but traditionally the
Venice
food...
Venice is in the north. It's not even far from Milan.
But the food is heavier up north, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
Which I like.
They use more butter and stuff like that.
Mm.
The food in Venice is great. It's a lot of seafood. A lot of vongole. And the other big one in Venice is a salsa rigoli, which is the one which is just loads of caramelized onions and anchovies. Or sardines. It's bloody lovely.
I've never put sardines in pasta, but I do love a puttanesca.
It's very good. Venice is like Disneyland for adults. They drink a lot in Veneto. And it's honestly the most beautiful place in the world. It looks like the Disney castle if you're a 30-year-old woman. And you just drink spritz all the time.
I do like a spritz.
Just sit on the canals drinking spritz and playing cards with the gals.
Do you know what? I would like to go to Venice.
Well, the Intrepid Strip starts in Venice and ends in Rome. And you stop off in Bologna, in Tuscany. Ooh. You're weaving your way down. I've not been to Rome, so that does actually sound quite appealing to me.
I'm actually going to Rome about 3 days before this podcast comes out. I get back from Rome. So I'm speaking now, and the listener can hear the voice of a man who has now been to Rome, but as I'm recording it, hasn't been to Rome.
And you have you loved it, but you don't know why.
I think I had a nice time. I believe I went to go and watch the England-Italy rugby match because my friend Ed is half Italian, and we always said when we were watching it when we were children, we should go. That would be great. But we weren't adults, so we didn't have any money, so we couldn't do that. But now I've been, and the result was
23-4.
One of them now.
Yeah.
There was a result.
Do you suspect, Will, that you might have gone into the home of a local Roman and learnt to cook their best seasonal dishes while you were there?
Yes, but completely without invitation. I'm just going to find the first door that looks like someone's house, knock on it, and go, ciao! What? Hola!
Ciao!
Bellissimo!
You could say, buenos sera.
Buenos aires? I thought that was in Argentina.
Buenos sera.
Oh, what's that?
It's like, good morning.
I'll say that. Or good day, good day. I'm planning a night attack. I'm going to get them in the evening when they're making their spaghetti bolognese.
Actually, they don't do that in Rome. They do the traditional Roman pastas, which, as we know, are...
It's a test for you.
Amatriciana, cacio pepe, carbonara.
It's the one that I forgot last time.
The other one.
But I have remembered now.
I can't remember.
And there's the extra one. That's the other one.
What is it?
Well, the other fourth one is allegria.
Allegria, that's the one.
And zazzona.
So you can learn all about those pastas in the Rome part of the trip. This is a great trip, actually. I have got an idea this summer to drive in a car. Because obviously I don't have a real job and I can travel and I can be like, oh, look, I'm going here. That's what I can do. I'll go a bit of France, maybe a bit of Spain, and then good bit of Italy. I might actually follow the people on the Intrepid Italy trip and go, yeah, I know. A little bit just everything.
Nice little bonus for them. And actually, if you don't want to be quite as cavalier as Will and you want to be invited by a Roman into their house, then Intrepid kindly ask before they enter. I don't really know anything about wine, so Soph, maybe you can take
it's Chianti,
a tour.
Chianti, so this is from Tuscany.
Amazing.
So you can go to Chianti land.
I could have read that off the label.
It doesn't say on the label, babes. I just know that. Oh, it actually does on the back, but I didn't see that bit. Yeah, I just know Chianti's from Tuscany because I'm cultured.
What's it like on the nose?
It's quite ripe and spicy. I'd say it's quite dark fruits.
Leather.
Strongbow.
I'm getting leather.
That's my red wine hack. Always say it smells like leather because red wine just smells like leather.
It does if it's an older red wine. This one's 2019, like leather, so that would explain it. It's got a bit of aging on it.
It's from what year? 2019?
Can I just say, pre-COVID. Michael, if you spilt this entire glass down you, I would just act like nothing had happened.
Thanks, that's good to know.
Well, anyway, wine. It's funny you should say that because actually what you can
do... Just say anything, Will.
Right, well, no, it's funny you should say wine because obviously Italy, they make wine. And one of the trips is to a vineyard, but also to some olive trees because they also make olive oil in Italy.
I've actually been to olive oil vineyards in Tuscany before.
You are such
bloody
a show
lovely.
Off. Every single food trip of the week, I've done this. I've been there. I haven't done any of it. And the listener probably hasn't either. So, Will, me and you, we're going on all the Intrepid trips.
I'm not
invited. Do you want to come on my weird drive that I do?
I would love to do that. And I'll follow you.
Oh.
You double follow.
Oh, but I'm following them.
Exactly.
Oh, my giddy arm.
It's a car chase.
It's an Italian job. Shit. You beat me to it.
I did.
Oh.
That's quite a strong reaction, Will.
Yeah,
but is it as strong as the reaction that you'll have whilst we're bathing in the 24 degree heat of Morocco?
I think it's 27. 26. Oh, is it 27?
27 degrees we will have been in when this... No, sorry. This one is in the future.
Oh, are we going into the future of the past again?
We're going into the future, but it's still before.
Come with us now on a journey through time and space.
Italy have beaten England in rugby. And we have been in the 27 degree heat of Morocco.
Oh, gorgeous.
But we haven't yet because that's actually in the future.
Can't wait. Can't wait.
It's going to be
amazing.
I've been
planning my wardrobe today.
Really?
I'm going to be whipping out loads of looks for you guys.
So it turns out that it's very cold at night, but very hot during the day.
And I'm a lady, so I have to cover my bits up.
Yeah,
exactly.
I'll
see my bits, but also my arms.
Whenever we go away, Sophie's like, all right, great, we're out the studio. It's a great opportunity to let my bits out. But it turns out in Morocco, like most civilized countries, Sophie can't walk around with her bits out.
If you're into tagine.
Oh, lovely crockery.
Elaborate more.
Lovely
give
crockery.
Me more. Give me more.
Camel spices.
We're going to Morocco.
Oh,
we're going to Morocco.
In a couple of weeks, and it's going to be hot.
It's going to be hot, 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 but cold in the evenings.
I'm going to bring a fan with me.
Okay. Mm.
What, me? I was here since the Wygella days.
If you go to intrepidtravel.com, you'll find over 1,000 trips to more than 100 countries, and not just food trips either.
That's this week's food trip with Intrepid Travel. Good trips only.
Intrepid's small group adventures take the guesswork out of going somewhere new. Choose from over 1,000 trips to more than 100 countries at intrepidtravel.com.
Crunch time, is it?
Yeah, it is.
Crunch time.
I want it.
It's time for the crunch. It's crunch time.
So, okay. Funny story about crunch time this week. So I had very much in my head an idea of exactly what I wanted to bring. And I will tell you now what it is because I still want to mildly discuss it. Have you experienced the cashew nuts that are covered in Marmite?
No.
No.
Okay, I am going to bring them in one day. They're not particularly crunchy, but fuck me, they're tasty. I keep seeing them on offer in Tesco's. I've had several bags of them. Do have some slight annoyance with them because for some reason they always come slightly smashed to bits rather than being full cashews.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that might be because they're using shit ones and getting a good deal. I don't know. But that got me thinking. Nuts. They're not mega crunchy, but they are nice. So today, not cashews, because cashews are famously a softer nut.
Quite soft, yeah.
I've bought some KP honey roast peanuts.
This is so fucking down the line. I love it. That is just a
we
classic.
Started this series doing, you know, rogue European crisps. And now we're just having a honey roast peanut.
I think what it is because I mean, I went to Tesco's. We can talk about supermarkets now. It's wicked. One of the better supermarkets, in my humble opinion. And I went to Tesco's because I knew they sold the Marmite cashews, which I was after. And then when they didn't have any in there, I was so upset that I just shoplifted these peanuts. So now we've got these.
He loves them so much that he didn't pay for it. And right. Do you know what my favourite crunchy nut is, as an aside? Not crunchy nut cereal, but a crunchy nut.
I think I
do. Nutty.
Is it the, can I guess?
Oh, go on,
is
go on,
it
guess.
The Walker Sensations ones that have the shell on them?
Yes!
Wait, which flavour?
It is the Thai Sweet Chili Walker Sensations peanuts.
No, I like the M&S chili peanuts.
Do they have a crunchy coating as well?
I know the ones you mean.
I've never had them.
On account of having quite a middle class mother who did buy some on one time. And they are extra crunchy, those ones. It's more of
tapioca.
It's more of a crispy.
It's a crispy crunch. It's a thin crunch.
The ones from the Walkers ones are a bit thicker. And they have a real crunch to them. And they have a bit of a crisp. But those M&S ones, I know the chili ones that you're talking about. It's more of a brittle shell with an...
It's a dainty crunch.
With an intense... No, more of an... I would say more of an intense crisp.
Oh.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Anyway, put your hands out and I'll serve you some... No allergies?
No.
No allergies. We're not free.
My housemate's really allergic to peanuts, so...
Wash your hands real good after this.
Well, I was going to go home and tickle him. oh, there you go. Big, big handful for Michael.
Thank you very
now,
much.
Now, we'll do the crunch test, but...
What's the point, really?
Yeah, but they have got an exciting honey-based coating. And as you know, I do like to read the back of them. Although, these are KP brand, and I like KP brand as a nut, but these guys are just fucking talking about themselves. It's absolutely
bugger all about the honey or the
imagine that
whatever.
Imagine just, someone doing that.
No, but but the you know, you'd think that there might be something more about, you know, where the honey's from. Probably bees. But it does say, which I do think is
does
nice.
Does it have honey in it?
The ingredients include peanuts, sugar, sunflower oil, honey, 1.5%, glucose syrup, salt, stabilizer, and xanthan gum.
The stabilizer really shines through.
Did anyone else do this as a kid? My dad used to get dry roast peanuts at the pub. And I didn't like the nuts, but I liked the dry roast. So I used to just suck them to get all the flavor off and then spit out the nut.
Really?
No.
That's not a universal
I've always
experience.
Loved nuts.
Okay, good.
Please have some more.
They're not, aren't they?
They're delicious.
Yeah, honey roast is great. I haven't had a honey roast for ages.
Good, salty, sweet. What's the best chocolate-covered nut? I'll tell you, but only after you've both guessed.
It's not going to be a peanut. You're going to say macadamia.
No.
Brazil nut.
Brazil nut, because they're so big, you get a thicker coating of chocolate.
Yeah, gorgeous.
Delicious.
I love a Brazil nut. Underrated. Right, shall I give us a little show and tell and smell?
That's yes, please. Idea. Show and tell and
smell. Whoa!
No, whoa. I can't deal.
So what we've got with us today is some ceviche. Michael, do you know where ceviche is from?
Mexico.
No.
No.
Costa Rica.
No.
Closer.
Argentina. Peru. Yes. Chile.
Peru. Yes. So ceviche apparently was getting eaten like 2,000 years ago. Archaeologists, I've no idea how, don't ask me, found proof that people were eating ceviche 2,000 years ago.
And what? In this exact form?
Apparently, yeah. So ceviche just when
with
you...
With Doritos.
With Doritos. I had some nice, authentic Blanco Nino tortilla chips. They got subbed out. So we're eating with salted Doritos instead.
Nothing
such as
that.
Ordering food online. But what we have is some tuna ceviche. So it's just diced up raw tuna with finely diced red onion, chili, coriander, a little bit of ginger, diced avocado, lime juice, sesame oil. And I did some crispy leeks on top, although they're not crispy anymore because something happened in transit that stopped them from being crispy.
Will, your crunch time was less crunchy than Sophie's show and tell and smell. How do you feel about that?
I'm embarrassed. But I'm also enjoying that.
It looks
I
delicious.
I like ceviche a lot.
I would like to eat some.
Did you
so
just
do I,
mix
lots of
the,
time.
The dressing in then?
Is I just you... mixed it all together, yes. Yeah, so yeah. I had all the parts separated.
Have you brought a cooler bag with you?
Well, luckily, London is a cooler bag today, so they were fine.
Yeah, that's absolutely delicious. I love ceviche. I think it's very, very tasty. Is it? They call it tiger milk, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
Or
what is
El Tigre? I can't remember. It's the name of the dressing that you put on.
Ah.
God, you've got a lot of crispy leeks there, Miguel. But that's a lovely topping as well. I'd never thought to do that.
A little crispy leek topping. They fry really quickly, just really finely diced bits of leek.
Lovely.
All no notes, Sophie. No notes.
I actually don't think that tuna is traditional either. They do whitefish normally, but I love a bit of tuna in this situation.
Bloody delicious, that.
Yeah, and I should say you should probably do it with sashimi-grade tuna, but...
Oh, yeah.
But
what grade is this?
Did you not use sashimi-grade tuna?
No.
Sorry.
I mean, Will's tummy's gonna...
I've been having terrible, terrible stomach issues recently, but I'm about to dive back into there like Tom Daly. Oh.
I'm sorry if that is just delightful.
That really is nice. I feel like we should perhaps talk a little about the origins. You said that this is something that people might have been eating 2,000 years ago. Did you hear that from Simon Sharma?
I heard it from the interweb, and I'd like your opinions. I'm no Indiana Jones. How do you archaeologically find that out? What someone was eating.
Cave drawings of people enjoying a nice bowl of ceviche.
And they wrote, ceviche.
Ceviche is delicious. Yum, yum.
Yeah. At the bottom, it had a little asterisk and it said, warning, this fish is raw, eat at your own risk, but in hieroglyphics. Or...
Children may choke on ceviche.
But it doesn't mean they shouldn't eat it.
Exactly. The small print on their cave drawings have always blown me away.
Fascinating.
Always read
absolutely fascinating.
The small print on cave drawings is what I've always said.
Honestly, I don't know. Because even when they say we found a new dinosaur, I'm like, I don't really know how you found that. So a little bit of ceviche. Almost impossible.
Ceviche versus dinosaur.
Yeah, exactly. I know what I'd be looking for if I was an archaeologist.
I'd rather eat dinosaur.
Oh, I wonder what it tasted like.
I think probably a bit like snake. Not that I've eaten.
Do you think
snake.
There are any tasty dinosaurs?
Damn.
Yes.
I bet a velociraptor would be nice.
Yeah. Velociraptor, like a big roast velociraptor.
Was
for
like
Christmas
the
dinner.
Birdie ones.
Yeah.
Yep, pterodactyls.
Yeah, yeah. Nice chickadee.
Commonly pronounced as pterodactyl by people that can't spell. Yeah.
More delicious than a T-Rex?
Well, you wouldn't want to eat a T-Rex. Imagine you're getting a Christmas dinner,
it's quite
right?
Sinewy.
And your dad's carving the T-Rex. And he goes, yeah. Right, leg or breast or arm. Then your shitty little cousin gets the arm. There's nothing there. Yeah, that's nice.
Well, what else do we say about it other than it's delicious and it's time to go?
Yeah.
It is time to go.
It is time to go.
Okay, let's wrap this up. So deep within Michael and their gut, every tip so vital.
That tastes great.
But it's a bit of a mouthful.
It's time to go.
It's time
to go. Good night, everyone. I imagine it's evening and you're about to fall asleep.
I think I'd listen to this podcast in the morning if I was listening to this podcast.
Well, good day in that case.
Yeah.
Bon
noir. All right, Will, stop dropping crisps. All right, we better go because Will's is making a real mess. Bye.
Don't talk with your mouth full, unless you're talking about food, in which case it's useful. And that's just what we're about to do. It's so deep within Michael and their gut, lifting every tip so vital.
That tastes great.
But it's a bit of a mouthful.
A Bit of a Mouthful is super proud to partner with Intrepid. Intrepid's small group food trips connect you with a local leader and a group of folks into food and travel, just like you.
It's not just food trips either. Check out their full range of trips at intrepidtravel.com.
Intrepid, good trips only.